And on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it had written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up his scroll, gave it back to the attendants, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You can see it. Let us pray. Father God, we pray now that you would prepare us to learn about your word. We pray that the thoughts of our minds and the words of my mouth would be pleasing to you. May your will be done. Amen. Okay, just now we have listened to two readings. One from Luke 4 and another from Nehemiah 8. And I don't know if you noticed, but in both readings, God's people were listening to the Word of God being read. Have you been listening? We've just done this same thing. We were listening to the Word of God being read. Well, hopefully we were listening. But that's the point, isn't it? Have we been listening? How have we been listening? And then what happens afterwards? What do we do because of what we've heard? And how do we respond to it? Well, that probably depends on what kind of person you are. It depends where you've come from, where you're going. I mean, everyone has a different life. Everyone has different experiences, don't they? So how about these people, God's people, that we've just read about in Nehemiah's time? What are they like? What have they been through? Actually, it's not been that easy for them. Their families, their ancestors, were taken into foreign captivity about 90 years or so earlier. And their city, Jerusalem, it was all smashed up, torn down, broken down, burned down and ruined. It was a devastation. But then, after 70 years of being in exile, the foreign king, the Persian king Cyrus to be precise, let them go. But it was a long journey for them. A long journey from Babylon to Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the walls with the help of Nehemiah. But it wasn't without opposition. There was always someone who wanted to harm them. They had to post guards while they were building. They would carry bricks in one hand and they would carry a sword in the other hand. These were tough times for them. I mean, we think we've got trouble when we want to get planning permission for something. Imagine someone sneaking up behind you wanting to kill you all the time when you're trying to build something. That's not easy. Okay, so we join them in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And the wall has finally finished being rebuilt. That's excellent. So what's next? Well, let's have a look at the text. Please take this opportunity to open up your Bible if you haven't already. You can find the reading on page 492. That's Nehemiah chapter 8 on page 492. Okay, let's have a look at verse 1. It says that it was the seventh month, the first day of the seventh month. And this was actually a public holiday in the ancient Hebrew calendar, and it was called the Festival of the Trumpets, during which they would blow trumpets. So all the people were gathered together for this special occasion. What else does it say in verse 1? It says, they told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the Law of Moses. Well, the book of the Law of Moses is what we know as the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's amazing, actually. After all their hard work rebuilding against opposition, now they want to hear God's word. So actually, there's two key points here. All the people are gathered together, and all the people want to hear God's word. They've all come to hear God's word. This firstly reminds us that God's word is for everyone. Every single person. It's not just for priests or vicars or anyone who feels especially holy or anything. But it's for everyone. Wouldn't it be amazing if we all wanted to hear God's word? And really, do we have any excuses for not trying? These people, I mean, God's people in Nehemiah's time, they probably only had one copy to read from. But we've got Bibles all over the place, left, right and centre. Still, in many countries to this day, there are people who don't have a Bible translated into their own native language. Millions. But we are so privileged to have so many different options for us just in English alone. So what's to stop us engaging with God's word? So the first point is this. Are we seeking God's word? Let's look at verse 3. It says that he read it aloud from daybreak until noon. And it also says that all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. How long were they listening? From daybreak until noon? Early morning until midday. Well, I mean, that's like 6 hours. That's half the day that you're awake. And how did they listen? We're told that they listened attentively for 6 hours. And in the original Hebrew language that this was written in, it literally says, the ears of the people were towards the book. They weren't distracted, looking this way or that way. They were listening to what was going on. They wanted to hear God's word. Can we say that we make that kind of effort to listen to God's word when it's being read? Calvin said this, that we must make the message our own, that through meditation it becomes embedded within the deepest part of our mind. This is just like Psalm 1 from God's own word, which tells us, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So the second point is this. Are we listening to God's word attentively? Now, why this sudden interlude in verses 5 to 6? We're now told what happens before Ezra starts reading to the people. It says this. As he opened it, the book, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen! Amen! Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Wow, can you imagine that? In the Church of England, everyone suddenly standing up shouting, Amen! And then bowing with their faces to the ground. I mean, that would be a rather different sense of what would, wouldn't it? Can you imagine a choir jumping out of their stool and then shouting, Amen! And then bowing down to worship God? So what makes them do this? Why do they stand up? Well, it's like when we hear the gospel being read. It's a sign of respect. But it's not respect for the book, but for who the word in the book is coming from. It's a sign of respect for God himself. Respect for the almighty creator of the universe. They are about to hear words from God. No wonder Ezra praises God and the people agree with him and bow down in worship. Once again, it's not that they're worshipping his word, and nor are they worshipping the book which contains the word, but they are worshipping God. They are realizing that God is about to speak to them. And even though these words were originally spoken to Moses in Moses' time, to God's people then, they are still seeing it in Nehemiah's time as relevant to them. Because the Bible is God speaking. It's God's fresh word to them. And if God is speaking to them then, he's speaking to us now. The Bible is God speaking to us today. And by worshipping God, his people are submitting to his word before they've even heard it read. So the third point is this. Are we submitting to God's word? Remember, they seek God's word, they listen to God's word, and they submit to God's word before they've even heard it. In all of this, isn't there a sense of anticipation and expectation? Are they excited about what they're going to receive? I mean, can we say that we're really excited about God's word? Are you excited for God's word? Are you excited for God's word? Are you excited for God's word? Well, you might ask, why get excited? Well, actually, the first answer has been given to us already. Because it's God speaking to us. I mean, surely that should be reason enough. But there's more. Let's have a look at their reaction. What was their response to God's word? Well, verse 9 tells us this. It says that all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Why were they weeping? Because Scripture exposes their sins. Scripture exposes our sins. It brings our lives into perspective. When the people heard God's word, they were deeply moved. They realized the extent of their sin and how they'd strayed from God's will. And you know, being mournful over sin is not a bad thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10, it says this, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation." Do you see, this is not where it ends. This is not where they stay. They do not stay in their sorrow. Further along, in verse 10, Nehemiah says to them, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Yes, this day is holy, we understand that. It's a special festival for them. But the joy of the Lord is their strength. What does this mean? Well, there's a deeper dimension to all this. And to understand this, we have to do a bit of biblical history. So I hope you're ready for Biblical History 101. So all the way back in Exodus, God's people were slaves in Egypt. You know that? Then, God rescued his people from Egypt. And he made a covenant with them. And he gave them the law as part of that covenant. But they weren't good at keeping the covenant, at keeping the law. They didn't stick to their part of the bargain. And God sent them into exile. And God has just now rescued them again from oppression in Babylon. God has brought them out. He's rescued them. He is a God who sticks to the covenant. He is a God who keeps his promises, even when his people don't. Surely that is something to get excited about. Something to be joyful about. But it's more than just that. Now that the people have come out of exile, they're starting afresh. They do realize they have sinned, but they see God's grace. God has brought them out of exile. They see that they have been saved by God. They have been rescued. And this is an act of God's grace. God has been gracious with them. This is the real joy that they are speaking of. The phrase in that verse, "the joy of the Lord is your strength," can also be translated, "the joy of the Lord is your fortress, your protection." They are protected from God's judgment by his grace. This is a reason to be joyful and to celebrate. So, even in this passage we've looked at today in the Old Testament, this is a really amazing account of God's grace. Surely we can celebrate in the same way every day. I mean, if we look at Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So we who have faith in Jesus as our Saviour and our Redeemer, we are protected from God's judgment by his grace. That's amazing, that is. It really is. And lastly, by now we should have realized this, that we need to seek God's word, we need to listen to God's word, and we need to submit to God's word. And overall, it's about getting excited about God's word. And we've learned why we need to get excited. Because, one, the Bible is God speaking to us. To us. And two, because just like the people in Nehemiah's time, we are reminded of God's grace. We're reminded of God's covenant. We know that the covenant is fulfilled in Jesus. So it reminds us of what Jesus has done for us. We're not left mourning when we're convicted of sin, but we're brought forward into celebration. Because we know that we are redeemed by Jesus' blood. We know that we have a hope to look forward to, of a new life in Jesus, in God's new creation. So, let us pray now that we may be able to get excited about reading God's word, knowing that we can meet him there, knowing that he will speak to us, knowing that we are part of his story and that we have a hope in God's promises which have been fulfilled in Jesus. Amen.